is 1010, and we're glad you joined us today for episode number 43 of Coffee with the Coder. Thanks so much for being here today, and I see a mugging winner on there. Hey, thank you for sending in your mugshot. Yay! We've just been talking about some wonderful things that are going to happen today, and I'm going to just jump right in here and start throwing these questions to Paula. Ready, Paula?
Yes.
Okay, so this first question is from an inpatient rehab, which we call IRF, for those of you who are new, IRF. The patient had an etiology of acute chronic diastolic CHF, and they're sent to rehab secondary to generalized weakness. We're still actively treating the chronic CHF, acute renal failure, and several other comorbidities. Do I use the weakness as the principal, which would be a DRG of 948, or the chronic diastolic CHF, which would be a DRG of 292? Why is this so confusing? And this person says coding is difficult. It's understanding the way to sequence for some of this stuff, and it's pretty foreign to me to use a symptom instead of a diagnosis.
Yes, and that's one of those misunderstandings, I think, in inpatient rehab. Sometimes, according to ICD-10 guidelines, the heart failure would be the principal. You can see those guidelines at Section 2K of the ICD-10 guidelines, and that's direction for the principal diagnosis selection. And remember, the question that the person was asking is related to UBO for coding, not for the IRF-PI. So she's saying, do I report the fact that the patient comes to rehab because they're weak due to CHF exacerbation or chronic diastolic CHF, I guess was her example, or do I say the chronic CHF is the reason for admission? So let me read to you what the guidelines say. It says, when the purpose for admission or encounter is rehab, sequence first the code for the condition for which the service is being performed. Well, and you're thinking about that, you might go, well, it's being performed because they're weak, because of the CHF. But then it goes on to say, if the condition for which the rehab service is being provided is no longer present, and that to me says, if it was present, you report it. But if it's no longer present, report the appropriate aftercare code. In our situation or this question that you've asked, it's that the CHF is still present, so it would then be reported as the principal diagnosis. Now, another thought for this, you want to add to that information that I just provided, the rule about reporting symptoms when definitive exists. So ICD-10 says codes that describe symptoms and signs as opposed to diagnoses are acceptable for reporting purposes when a diagnosis has not been established or confirmed by the provider. So if the physician said the patient was weak and debilitated but did not give you a cause for that weakness, then that's when the weakness would be the principal diagnosis. But because the physician said it was due to the CHF would be the principal diagnosis. So that's just kind of how that works.
Thank you. And it looks like our next question is also for inpatient rehab. So we're getting a lot of information about inpatient rehab. This person says, we have a patient who has primary OA of the knee on one side and fibrosis of a previous knee on the other side. She had a new TKA plus TKA revision surgery, which puts her in the bilateral TKA IVC. There's not an ICD-10 code for this, so is it okay if I put both the M17.12 and T84.82XA in the etiologic slot? I think that's right, but I'm not confident.
Okay, yeah. So the question, basically, when you're reporting the bilateral total knee arthroplasty impairment group, if there are, and it would be an oddity because, you know, a lot of your softwares will say, ding, 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 this, you don't, you know, this isn't seen in a lot of cases, basically, or in no cases. If there were two different reasons to repair those two different knees, yes, you would report the two diagnoses as the etiologic. So in your case, the diagnosis codes that you said would be accurate because that does tell the accurate story of why both knees were repaired.
Thank you. Okay, and now I have another anonymous question from a physician office regarding E&M coding, and there was some new E&M stuff that came out in the news recently, so let me just throw this one to you. Would a new patient with a fracture be considered low or moderate? I have a 5-year-old with a right displaced clavicle fracture, and it says he did x-ray. I'm assuming that means the physician did the x-ray. No prescription. The plan is for an immobilizer and repeat the x-ray in 2 weeks. To me, this looks like a 99203, but the physician has it as a 99204.
Okay, so here we go. It would be incorrect, just to let the caller know, it would be incorrect to assign the complete level of E&M based on the limited information that we have. Because this is a new patient, and I know it's a new patient because of the CPT code that was given, the 99203 versus the 99204, it requires a certain level of history, a certain level of exam, and a certain level of medical decision making be documented in order to determine which level of E&M code to report. You know, based on the information that's provided, that medical decision making, you know, could drive you into one or other of those codes, but you still need the history and the examination documented. So for this question, I would need to see the complete note in order to determine if I agree with 03 or 04. Okay, it certainly seems like it might, like you think, you know, go towards an 03, but without seeing the full documentation, it would be probably not appropriate for me to say, okay, it should be a 99203 versus an 04, because let me just say too, sometimes as we are doing audits on evaluation and management services, it is very often that the physician is following prompts in their software or templates that they've set up in their software. And when that happens, maybe the templates don't allow all the options for all the different elements that need to be documented on. And so they may think that they're documenting a higher level of service than they actually are. And it's particularly problematic when they are trying to report the new patients, because it does require a higher level of documentation than the established patients do. And what Pam was talking about as far as the changes, CMS announced this, I think it was this past week actually, that they would be revising the evaluation and management codes. And they're looking at going in a system that has 4 levels, I believe, is what I read. And, you know, we've been wondering about this for a long time. And even last year at the AMA conference, you know, the folks were saying, the CMS and AMA were saying, you know, there's no plans to change it. But apparently President Trump issued a statement that he wants things simplified, and not just related to E&M, but in all areas of the government. So that said, CMS took that to mean, okay, we need to do some revisions to these E&M codes. So be on the lookout for that coming. Don't know how fast it'll be here. We'll just kind of watch that. But at this moment, we are still in the E&Ms that we currently have, which we have 5 levels of new patient, 5 level of established for outpatient services, and then you have multiple different types of service, whether the patient's in the hospital, in a nursing home, or what the location is. So that said, Pam, that wraps that one up.
Thank you. Well, that is my question for today. So it's time for a mugging. And, you know, we're trying something different that we haven't done before. So I've got this list of names, and I just keep readjusting them, because you can adjust them by lots of different things. And so I adjusted by how long you've been here, and I adjusted by names and numbers and all that stuff. And so pick a number out of the air, and then I'm going to try to unmute one of these lines and see if there's someone here. Let's try this number right here. If you heard, you are unmuted, please say hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
What's your name?
My name is Colleen Stetson.
Well, Colleen, we'd like for you to be our mugging winner for today. So
oh.
Can I call you back at the same phone number after we hang up?
Absolutely.
I will do that, and we can get the information about how to send your mug. So thank you for joining. I'm so excited that you were here.
And, I am too. Thank you.
Yay. So our next
Yay,
call
Colleen.
Is today. Congratulations, Colleen. And,
thank
and
you.
I'm hoping that she will play while we're ending, but if not, I'll be right back.